You're listening to Health Savvy You, where understanding health starts with you. I'm Dr. Navjot Butter, a dental surgeon, health communication epidemiologist, and your friend on the journey to better health literacy. In every episode, I break down complex health info, teach you how to spot fake health tips, and share practical tools to help you think clearly, ask smarter questions, and make confident health choices. Keep listening, because becoming healthier shouldn't feel out of reach. It should feel empowering. Hey, my Health Savvy friends. Welcome to another episode of Health Savvy You. Recently, I came across something that had me laughing, confused, and also a little bit concerned. A woman posted on Reddit that her husband was cheating on her with an AI chatbot. Not a real person, a chatbot. He told her that he wanted to open up their marriage to include this chatbot because he had developed deep connection with her. He said the chatbot made him feel understood, respected, and this is my favorite. He claimed that she always agreed with him. Some of you might be thinking, wow, that is wild, or what is wrong with people today? But stories like this say something big. Artificial intelligence, or AI, is not just a tool anymore. It's becoming part of our everyday lives, in relationships, in jobs, in schools, and yes, in health too. In the past year or so, I have heard all kinds of things about AI. Some people are scared it's going to steal their jobs. Others, they think it'll become so smart that it'll take over the world like in the movies. And then there are people who are super excited about it, who say that AI can solve huge problems like climate change and cancer. The truth is somewhere in the middle. And when it comes to health, something so personal, so important, AI is already changing the way we get our information and how we make our decisions. But that change comes with risk. So in today's episode, we are diving into a big important question. What happens when AI gets involved in our health information? Can it help us? Can it hurt us? And most importantly, how do we know what to do with it? Before we start with the deeper talk, let's start with some of the basics so that those of us who are new to this will also understand this. I know that not everyone who is listening has a background in computers or tech, and that is totally fine. I would like to make sure that everyone feels included in this conversation, regardless of your background, because this stuff is important for all of us, and we don't really need to be software engineers for this. So here are some terms that I'll be using in this episode. I'll try to explain them in the easiest way that I can. Let's start with, what is artificial intelligence? AI is just when machines or computer programs do things that seem smart, like answering your questions or translating different languages, recognizing your voice, or helping you choose what to watch next on Netflix. But there is also generative AI. This is the kind of AI that doesn't just find information for you, it also makes things. It can write stories, create pictures, or answer your health questions like a little robot writer. But I want you to remember that while it sounds smart, it doesn't always know what's true. We will talk about this more in a minute. Next is chatbot. A chatbot is a program that you can talk to, like you are texting a person, and it talks back with you. Sometimes it may feel really real. You may have heard of ChatGPT, Google Gemini, or Meta AI. You can use them to plan trips. Some people use them for therapy. And some, like the man in the Reddit post, apparently try to marry them. No judgment here. Another common term is LLM, or large language models. These are, let's say, the brains behind the chatbots. They have read billions and billions of sentences from books, websites, and social media, and have learned how people talk. But the catch is that they don't always know what's a fad and what's fiction. They are great at sounding smart, but not always being smart. it is also important to know what a deepfake is. This is when AI makes a very realistic video or photo of something that never actually happened. For example, you might see a video of a doctor saying to drink bleach to cure COVID, but the doctor in that post doesn't even exist in real life and has never said anything like that. AI completely faked it, and that is a deep fake. Everyone also keeps talking about algorithm and how algorithm controls it all. So what is it? An algorithm is like a recipe or a formula that the apps use to decide what to show you. It's how TikTok chooses what videos show up in your feed, or how YouTube keeps you watching more and more videos. Sometimes it pushes helpful stuff, but most often it pushes whatever gets most clicks, even if it's not true. Okay, now that we have got our basics down, let's really dig into this. And because I like to save the good news for later, coming up is the bad news, which is how AI can fuel misinformation and make health confusion worse. But don't you worry, we'll also get into the good stuff too. That is how AI can help us make better health decisions if we use it the right way. So grab your tea, your coffee, or whatever you like to drink, and let's go. We need to remember that AI may be smart, but it is not wise. You know that one kid in school who had all the facts memorized, could rattle off the whole periodic table, but had no common sense? That's AI today. And when it comes to health advice, that's a problem. Because when you are not feeling well, or you're confused about a new diagnosis, you want answers that you can trust. And AI, well, let's just say it's not always the friend you think it is. Why, you ask? Here is why. First, so much of it is generative garbage. That is when AI just makes stuff up. AI doesn't know the truth. It only knows patterns. That's how it is trained. Think of it like this. Imagine feeding a parrot millions of medical articles, health blogs, Reddit posts, and diet fads from the internet. Now imagine asking that parrot, how do I treat cancer? That parrot might repeat something smart, or it might say, have you tried a detox tea made from moon water and chia seeds? That's what AI is doing. It's echoing the internet, for better or worse. And as we know, the internet is full of nonsense. AI may sound impressive, but if someone stops their medication based on that advice, it could be dangerous. Second is the confidence trap. People trust AI a bit too much. It is because AI appeals to human nature. AI doesn't just make things up, it makes them up politely and confidently. It's like that colleague who's always wrong, but always says things with such authority that we believe them anyway. AI speaks in calm, clear, professional language. No hesitation. No, I'm not sure about this. So even when it gives us a wrong answer, we believe it. There's even research showing that people trust health information more if it's delivered in a confident tone, even if it's totally false. That's a big problem, because people may follow bad advice simply because it sounded right to them. This is what we call confidence trap. It's how wrong information becomes sticky because it wears a suit and a tie. Now let's shift gears and talk about bias. The problem is that if information AI learns from, all the data that is fed to AI, if that information or data is biased, AI will be biased too. We know that most of these language models are trained on internet data. And guess what? The internet doesn't always treat people equally. For example, there is more research on diseases affecting white men than black women. There is more discussion about weight loss pills than about eating disorders. There's more content in English than in any other language of the world. So, if you are a black or a brown woman looking for skincare advice, or a non-English speaker trying to understand your chronic pain, AI might just miss you altogether or give you advice that really isn't right for you. It might offer less accurate, less helpful, or sometimes completely irrelevant advice because it never learned enough about your experience in the first place. This is what we mean when we say bias is baked in. It's part of the recipe. Fourth, AI hallucinates. Not like seeing unicorns, but in sense that it creates completely fake answers that sound real. Let's say you ask a chatbot, what are the top three studies about benefits of turmeric? It might give you a list of studies with real sounding titles, authors, and journals. Even when those studies do not exist, AI will just make them up. This is called an AI hallucination, a made-up answer wrapped in real-sounding words. It's like asking someone for directions and they give you the names of streets that sound familiar but do not exist and lead you straight into a swamp. The worst part is that these hallucinations are often mixed with real info. So you cannot tell what's true unless you fact-check every single piece. AI hallucinations are especially dangerous in healthcare. Imagine a medical student learning from ChatGPT or a patient making a life decision based on hallucinated clinical trial. Even on platforms like YouTube, AI is now being used to auto-generate videos with voiceovers. These videos may look and sound like they were made by real experts, but in reality, no human ever reviewed the content. And if that video contains a hallucination, well, you have just spread a very believable lie. Add to that fake images and deepfakes. AI is getting really good at making pictures and videos that look real but are 100% fake. They have been used to put celebrity faces in fake videos, create fake news events, and even to impersonate doctors. And even if we build smart tools to detect fake news, those tools often can't keep up with the speed and volume of AI-generated content. That means you have to be a part of the solution now. But we'll talk about that in a bit. One final danger we need to talk about is that we are starting to treat AI like people. Why? Because it sounds polite. It says sorry, and it remembers our name. It gives off the vibe that it understands us. This is called anthropomorphism. That is, giving human qualities to something that isn't human. And it's one reason people start trusting AI too much. Some even fall in love with it, like a Reddit husband. But the issue is, when we treat AI like a person, we expect it to behave like one. We expect it to learn from its mistake, care for our feelings, or make ethical decisions. But AI doesn't have feelings. It doesn't care if the advice it gives you is wrong. It's just doing math, but with words. And if we forget that, we put too much trust in a machine that doesn't understand us or our health, and it can lead to really bad decisions. A quick recap. AI can be overconfident, even when it's wrong, biased, based on what it learns, confusing, mixing facts with fiction, convincing, even when it's lying, and dangerously human-sounding. But like I said, it's not all bad news. AI is a tool, and like any tool, it can be used to build something helpful. That's why in the next part of our episode, we talk about how AI can actually help us if we use it the right way. Okay, I know that last section was a little intense. I promise it gets better from here. Because while AI has its risks and we need to talk about them, it also has a real powerful potential to make our lives better, especially when it comes to health. So in this part of the episode, let's talk about the good news, the hopeful stuff. Let's start with something simple but powerful. Imagine you live in a small town and English is not your first language. You have got a fever or a headache and doctors know that makes zero sense to you. Now, imagine being able to take a picture of that note, plug it into an app, and have AI explain it to you in your own language, in words that actually make sense. Something like this is already happening. The World Health Organization has an AI-powered chatbot called Sarah, still a prototype, that answers questions about health in 20 different languages. You can ask it anything and it will calmly walk you through what the science says with no judgment, no shame, just facts. And during health emergencies, AI can help public health teams get information out fast and in multiple languages. It's like having 100 translators and fact checkers on call 24/7. That's a game changer, right? Especially in places where myths spread faster than the truth. Now, health information is confusing. Ever gotten your lab results and thought, what the heck does this even mean? Some of the terms in those reports sound like something out of a chem PhD thesis. And doctors don't often have the time to break it down into plain language. Here's where AI can help. It can read those long, jargony clinical guidelines and turn them into something you can actually use. Instead of something like elevated TSH may indicate subclinical hypothyroidism requiring clinical correlation, you get your thyroid might be working a little slowly. It's not an emergency, but your doctor might want to monitor it. Way better, right? This kind of AI is already being explored for patient portals, those websites where you view your test results. Some health systems testing AI tools can offer a little TLDR or too long, didn't read version of your report. It doesn't replace your doctor, but it helps you feel informed. Remember how we talked about AI spreading fake news earlier? Well, here's the good twist. AI can also help catch fake news. Researchers are building AI systems that scan social media posts, tweets, even blogs, comments, and flag ones that seem suspicious. And they are getting really good. Some algorithms like random forests and decision trees are over 99% accurate in detecting fake news in controlled settings. Now, these tools aren't perfect. They're still being trained, and it's a big challenge to get them integrated into platforms like Twitter or Facebook. But imagine this. You go to share a health post and a little pop-up says, "This claim has been flagged by health experts. Would you like to learn more before sharing?" That kind of AI human teamwork could slow down the wildfire of misinformation that's been burning across the internet. And here's the best part. AI can help experts spot patterns in misinformation, like when a false claim is starting to go viral, so they can respond faster with accurate, clear, and targeted information. We have been talking a lot about how AI helps regular folks like you and me, but let's not forget the people on the front lines, the healthcare workers, doctors who are buried in reports, nurses stretched thin, public health teams who are dealing with new diseases, new misinformation, new social media trends every day. AI can help them in ways such as summarizing research so you don't have to read 300 pages of clinical trial results, tracking health trends across regions like a spike in flu cases or a surge in Google searches for how to cure measles naturally, identifying outbreaks faster by analyzing people and what they're posting or searching for online. It's like giving our health heroes superpowers without expecting them to work even more hours. AI can also help with organizing vaccine campaigns, managing inventory in clinics, and even predicting where the next health crisis might hit. Isn't that great? AI, when used right, can make health information feel more human. Sometimes AI can write with more empathy than a rushed doctor or an outdated pamphlet. AI can explain what's happening, walk you through the next steps, or even say, "You're not alone. Lots of people manage this with help." It doesn't replace the real care, but for some folks, especially people without easy access to doctors, it can be a soft landing. Of course, all of this works best when machines and humans team up. AI is like a very fast, very eager assistant. It'll do whatever you ask, but it still needs your judgment. So yes, it can translate your lab report, but you need to decide if that means skipping your meds. Yes, it can summarize a new study, but you need to check if that study was real or sponsored by a vitamin company selling $80 gummies. The best results happen when human wisdom and digital tools work together. AI is here to help, but it's not here to replace thinking. So here's where we are. AI has its flaws, but it can also translate health information into your language or make complex things simple. It can spot fake news before it spreads, help doctors and nurses care for more people, and give patients a little clarity and maybe even a little comfort. If we use it wisely, AI can be a part of a more fair, informed, and human-centered health system. And of course, that brings us to the most important question of all. How can we, as a person with no background in computers, use AI safely and smartly when it comes to our health? Stick around, because that's what we are talking about next. All right, now on to the best part. AI is here and not going anywhere. We have explored the risks. We have looked at the rewards. Now comes the best part and the one that matters the most. How do you personally use AI in a smart, safe way when it comes to your health? Because let's be honest, it's tempting. We all want to have answers at one click of our finger. You feel a weird pain in your back, and instead of calling your doctor, you ask Google or ChatGPT. You may get 6 different answers, 2 of which say cancer, and suddenly you're spiraling. So in this final section, I want to give you some real world tips. No tech jargon, no health system reforms, just some plain advice you can use today, whether you're curious, confused, or just trying to understand your body better. I have 6 tips for you. Tip number 1, ask better questions, because how you ask AI a question matters. Imagine you walk into a pharmacy and say, I feel sick. The pharmacist is going to say, okay, what kind of sick? AI is the same. If you just type, why do I have pain in my joints? You will get a vague generic answer. But if you say, I'm a 40-year-old woman with fatigue, back pain, and hair thinning, what are some possible causes I can ask my doctor about? Now you're giving AI some context. It can respond more clearly. Likely, it's still not perfect, but more useful. You can do even better if you give your chatbot the space to ask you some relevant questions, like saying, I'm a 40-year-old woman with fatigue, back pain, and hair thinning. What are some possible causes I can ask my doctor about? Feel free to ask me questions that will help you narrow down the options and provide explanations for each option. That makes AI think better, and the better your questions, the better are going to be its answers. Tip number 2, always remember that AI doesn't replace your doctor. It doesn't know your full health history. It cannot see your blood test or feel your pain. It cannot look at you for symptoms such as that yellow in your eye. So yes, ask it questions, get background, but always check with your doctor or nurse practitioner before making any big health decisions. Think of AI as your study buddy, not the one that's taking the exam. Tip number 3, check the sources. Be cautious if AI doesn't show any references, but also be cautious if AI does give you references. Let's say AI gives you an answer and lists a few references. That's a good sign, but it is up to you to look a little closer. Are those real sources? Are they from a trusted place like Mayo Clinic, CDC, or a peer-reviewed journal? Or are they blog posts from 2011 titled, Why Crystals Cured My IBS? Or it could be that those links don't even exist. Remember, AI hallucinates. Tip number 4, use it as an assistant, not a boss. AI can be a great helper. It can explain what a test result means, remind you what LDL cholesterol is, or summarize a new study. But it should never be the one calling the shots. Don't let AI tell you what medication to take or what diagnosis you have. It just doesn't have that level of authority, even if it sounds like it does. You wouldn't let Siri perform a root canal, right? So don't let ChatGPT tell you how to manage your thyroid. Tip number 5, use it to clear your doubts, not to create panic. Here's where AI really shines. You can use it to double check something your doctor said. You can ask it to explain a medical term in simple words. You can even say, can you help me understand what a mammogram is, like you're talking to a 10-year-old? And It will give you a plain explanation that makes you feel a little less overwhelmed. Just don't let it send you into a panic spiral. If you start jumping from one condition to another and suddenly you're convinced your hangnail is a symptom of something rare, it might be time to take the break. And the final tip, watch out for the pitfalls. Finally, let's talk about the landmines. Some quick don'ts. Don't assume AI is always right. Remember those hallucinations we talked about? Still a thing. Don't get swayed by its tone. Just because it sounds confident doesn't mean it's correct. Also, don't use AI in emergencies. Chest pain, trouble breathing, bleeding that won't stop, call 911 or your local emergency number, not your chatbot. Here's a helpful rule of thumb. Just like you wouldn't trust a stranger off the street with your health, don't trust a chatbot with it either. So, to wrap it up, how you ask your questions, that matters. Always, always talk to your doctor. Check the sources AI provides you with. Use AI like a helpful assistant, not the boss. Use it to clear your doubts, not give you a diagnosis. Always know the limits of AI. If you keep these things in mind, AI can be a powerful tool in your back pocket. Not perfect, not magical, but really helpful. In today's world of information overload, AI can be the kind of friend who can make a lot of difference. This is all for today. In the next episode, we'll wrap up our module on misinformation. In the final chapter, we will summarize all the tips to navigate the current ecosystem of health information in a smarter and useful way. If you have missed any episodes or chapters, make sure you go over them in the next 2 weeks. And until we meet again, don't forget to stay savvy and stay healthy.
Thank you for tuning into Health Savvy You. I hope today's episode brought you one step closer to feeling confident, curious, and in control of your health. If you found this episode helpful, share it with someone you care about. Keep learning and remember, health literacy is for everyone, including you. Be sure to follow or subscribe so you never miss a new episode. I have got more great conversations coming your way. See you next time, and until then, stay savvy, stay healthy.